Session number 27730, Reel 9.
Mr. Bob Lunt, Reel 9. Now, we're approaching the D-Day time now. It's 2 months, basically, at Emsworth Camp. What signs were there of the D-Day? What preparations were you making?
When we, after I'd finished our various duties, we had to go to various stores along the coast to pick up loads. When we knew where we were going, I mean, it stand out like a mile. We went to, I was detailed to go to the ammunition store, which was further along the coast. There was a large ammo dump there. And they loaded me up with various shells and what have you. We had about 3 ton of stores on board, and we came back and we were then put in lines. Those with the ammunition on was kept to one side, those with food on was on their own, and those with petrol, diesel and oil was right at the very end, so that you had the lines more or less. If you looked at your lines, you had ammunition on one end, you had the food in the centre, and the fuel at the other end, so that if the fuel went up, it wouldn't take the ammunition up, and it wouldn't destroy, well, I mean, it would destroy the various wagons and what have you. Then on the roads round Emsworth and Havant and all the way along that coastline was filling up with tanks and wagons, guns, and they were all lined up. It didn't matter what lane or road you went down, there was army, but you never saw a civilian vehicle. They were just kept out of the area. Then on the on the 3rd of June, at night, we were pulled out of our the area at Emsworth, and we went, to us it seemed as though we were going inland, and we went, I remember one place, because I remember Petersfield, because my mother came from Petersfield, and we went through Petersfield. I thought, this isn't going to the docks. Anyway, it seemed as though we were trying to get us all into various lines to line us up for loading. Because a lot of the fellas were thinking that maybe we could go out to sea and sail across the sea. But we knew that was wrong. Anyway, we come back down through Petersfield, down through what's the thing of the name? We made for Botley, a place called Botley, which is on the River Amble. I remember that river. And we parked up, and on the other side of the road there was a row of tanks. And then we could see why we had did this. We had to go in various sections and for landing. I said to Owen, I said, well, you're on guard tonight, aren't you? He said, yeah. He said, what are you going to do? I suppose you'll read a book. I said, no, it's a funny thing. I said, there's a pub along here. I said, we passed it as we came in into this village. He said, well what are you going to do? You won't get in that pub. So I said, I better will. He said, who are you taking with you? I said, I think I'll take Peter Portis. He's a fairly good runner, and we were in Plimsolls. I was fit in those days. Well, fitter than I am now. And I said, get a pass, and we'll go for a walk through the village. He said, who wants to walk through the village? I said, you get a pass, and say you're going to have a walk through the village. Well, both got passes. Of course, I mean, I had nothing to lose, and they could only get shot. And we run from the camp, we got through the lines, and we run along the road to this pub, and it was called the Railway Hotel. He said, where are you going? You'll never get in here. I said, leave it to me, Peter. The people that own this pub is my aunt and uncle. If I don't get in here, I'll kill them. So he said, never. And he said, you can't be dead, will you? He said, why don't we stay here and let them go and fight their war somewhere else? I said, no, we won't do that. I went into the 4 hour, what they call the 4 hour bar, where they used to sell the bottled beer. And beer, like everything else, was short. And I went in there, and the chappie came to the bar. I said to Peter, I said, order 2 pints. He said, can I have 2 pints, please, mister? He said, you know you're not allowed to be in here, you know that? So I came from behind Peter, and I said, but you would allow me in here, wouldn't you, Uncle? Good God, he said. Where you spring from? I said, I've sprung from some of these vehicles up here. He said, I was wondering if you might be round, but he said, I didn't know where you were. He said, I'm going to get Aunt. I'm going to get Gert, Aunt Gert. Now I said, well, just a minute, let's just have a chat. I said, we're going to get 2 pints. He said, you'll have a barrel if you want it. I said, no, I can't manage a barrel. So he said, yes, you'll get your 2 pints. And he said, you best come through, but let me go and warn Gert what's happening. He said, you must have smelt it. I said, smelt what? He said, she's cooking a ham and egg pie. I said, oh, well, that'd be just the job. I'll take that back to the gang. And he said, Gert? He said, what do you want, that? Jess. What do you want, Jess? He said, I've got 2 fellas here waiting to see you. But he said, one in particular. If I said to you I told him how to milk a cow, would you know who I meant? She said, that's our young George, because I was called George by them. That's our young George, you haven't got him there. I said, he is, he's here with a friend. They've come in for a drink of beer. She said, oh, bring him round, they can have what better than that. Crack the bottles open. And we stayed there till about 3 in the morning. Jess was an old soldier from the First World War. He said to me, don't say anything that you regret. I don't want to know what you're doing. I don't want to know where you're going. He said, I know where you're going, but he said, I don't want to hear it from you. We'll just talk about this and that, and your friend can talk about his family and what have you, and we'll have a good time. And she told everybody in the bar, and they all had a whip round for us. And I said to Jess, I said, it's no good having a whip round for us. I said, we can't spend it where we're going. They said, well, you keep it until you get time to play a few cards. I know you soldiers, you're sure to play a few cards. Anyway, we stayed there till about 3 and said, well, we best get back. They'd probably be asleep on the line, so we'd be able to get through all right. So I said, kiss the aunt goodbye, and she was crying, and I was crying, and Pete was laughing. And he said, well, what a night. He said, I don't think I'll be able to run back to the camp now. He said, we'll walk back slowly. So we walked back and we got in about 4 and climbed back into our ducks and got our heads down for about an hour. And then they come along the side of the ducks with the sticks. Wake up, you lot in there. Get your crews ready. Well, the crews consisted of, oh, we knew he was fast asleep from his duties. And I was fast asleep from my drunkenness. And got started up and got going. And we come down to the Portsmouth Hards. And the landing ship tanks, there were 3 on each hard waiting to accept the ducks. The landing ship tank, in my mind, it was the original ferry ships like they use today, where the bows open, the ramp came down and you drive in. And that was a landing ship tank to us. A lot of people say, oh yes, you went on a LCT. No, an LCT was a landing craft tank. An LST was a landing ship tank. A landing ship tank could take anything. And anyway, we drove in. I think there was...
that was on the 4th of June.
No, that was on the 3rd of June.
I thought you'd gone to Botley on the 3rd.
We were coming through Botley on the 3rd.
So this is next day, so it's the 4th.
Let's work it backwards. We landed on the 6th. We should have landed on the 5th. We loaded on the 4th. Loaded on the 4th. We went out into the Solent, all lined up. You never saw such a motley load of ships in all your life out in the Solent. They were all lined up in their lines. And on top of the ship, our ship, we had the Canadian Commandos. And I thought, this is going to be jolly. And there was one Canadian sitting up. Whenever I went on the ship, I always went up on top deck, because down below you've got the smell of people being sick, and once you got started smelling that, you would be sick yourself. So I always used to go up on top deck into the breeze. And there was one Canadian commando. He said, I've got to sharpen this knife up. Come on. And I kept on saying to him, if you sharpen it much more, you won't have much knife left. He said, I've got another one I can go at. I said, well, you put that knife away. And we sat there chatting. He was French commando. He was French Canadian commando. And he told me he came from Quebec and all that. I never saw him again. I guess he got duffed. But the news came over the Tannoy You're not going in tomorrow morning, gentlemen. We were called gentlemen. They were going to kill us. According to headquarters, you've been stood down for 24 hours. And we're not unloading, we're staying out at sea. And if the sea becomes calm, we're going in the following day. Which everybody cheered. And
cheered because you were going in, or cheered because there was a delay?
Cheered because there was a delay. Well, there was, of course, the money that we had collected, Peter Portis and I had collected from the pub, came in very handy for a game of cards. And most of us was either drinking tea or over the side, or kept on looking at the ducks making. And you had to warm your ducks up because you didn't want them breaking down halfway with, because they're cold. And we, after you warm them up, you had to fill them up with petrol again. And the petrol tank was on the back. I was the last but one to get on our ship. The fellow behind me was a fellow named Hancocks. Driver Hancocks. He came from Birmingham. But I've never met him or seen him since. I don't know why he might. I don't know whether he got killed. Just don't know. Anyway. Yes, that was Hancocks. Anyway. We knew we were on the move because the chains of the anchor started coming up. The anchor came up and we felt the engines rolling, and everybody was shaking hands and saying, "See you in Paris," and all this load of nonsense. And then at
how did you feel? Were you nervous yourself? Were you?
I felt horrible.
In what way?
I thought, well, we left Swanwick and come up to with my aunt with her arms around my neck, crying her eyes out. And I thought, well, I shall never see her again. I shan't see my mum again. So, I felt pretty awful. But I had a job to do. I knew what I had to do. I'd been training for it for many years. And so therefore, I just had to get on with it. I was first driver. Owen was second driver. You had to have that second driver to get your six-wheel gears in, because you couldn't lean across and put them yourself.
So what happened then? I mean, you'd started, the engine started.
The engine.
What do you remember of the crossing?
It was pretty rough. Though we were stood down for 24 hours, the sea was very, very rough. And, of course, being in a flat-bottom boat, the landing ship tank was a flat-bottom boat, it was going up on the waves and it clanking down into the furrows of the sea. We could see the coastline in the first hours of morning, which was the 6, and we didn't see a lot of action really. We saw the planes going over. And the aircraft that was towing the gliders, we saw that going over about midnight, and we thought, well, they're going to take the brunt of it. And we knew when we saw them planes, we were now going in. And The ship, our ship, came up to a halt about 3 miles out. The French commandos got off, and they got into their landing ship infantry. No, they'd be landing craft infantry. They were landing ships and landing craft infantry, and they went belting off to their various points. And then the ship, after they all went, the ship slowly made its way into the beach, and they were about two miles off the beach, off the shore. And then we were all told to get down to our ducks. Got down to our ducks. The anchors had gone out. The bows are opened. The ramp came down. Hancock's was the first one to go off. And he was C. I was in C platoon. He was C-33. I was C-32. I was the second one off. We should have been off at 6:30, but we were late getting there because of the seas, pretty rough. The infantry had already gone, didn't really matter what time we got there, though we were all under strict instructions. And then we moved. The sergeant major came alongside the ramp and said, "Right, Hancock." I think it was the sergeant major was on our ship. "Right, Hancock's, off you go. Best of luck." He went off. I backed up to my position. Said, right, Lun, off you go. Good luck." I didn't know when he was going, because he had to be there on the beach pretty sharp. And I didn't know what the other platoons were doing. They were all in different ships. And they had an Aldous lamp flashing on the beach. I can't remember what they were flashing. All I knew, I wanted to get to that beach as quick as possible.
Now, which beach were you approaching?
I was approaching Sword Beach. I believe it was Queen section. There was three sections. There was Sword Beach, and it had three sections: Queen, Roger. I can't think what the other one was. I think Queen was the left flank. I know it was left flank, complete left flank. The beach master was a man called Nicholson.
Now, what happened as you were running in? What were you carrying?
Ah, yes. I was carrying shells.
25-pounder?
No. Don't know. It was a secret. I should imagine there were 25-pounders. There could have been 38s for the tanks. But anyway, there were shells.
Now, what could you see as you were running ashore at Queen Sector?
A lot of activity. You backed off and you turned round and then went for the beach. On my way across to the beach, I had passed Hancock's. He was in trouble. Got to the beach, and beach master Nicholson said, "Where are you making for?" I said, "I want the transshipment area." "What have you got on?" I said, "Shells." The next breath he said, "What's that bloke doing out there? That duck going out there?" And I looked, and there was a duck out in the surf, going away from the beach and going towards what afterwards found out was Equestrian.
And what was wrong with it?
It broke down.
The engine stopped.
What had happened, he'd been topping his petrol up, and he hadn't screwed the petrol cap down tight enough, because when you came down that ramp, the first thing that goes into the sea is your petrol tank, and the force of the waves forced his cap off. So out went his petrol and in went sea, and that's why I passed him on my way in. But he didn't wave his, when you broke down out at sea, you got your boat hook and your life belt, and you hooked it onto the hook, boat hook, and put it up in the air and wave it slowly, which meant to us the duck had broken down. But he didn't do that. He was trying to get the darn thing working and forgot his, in his panic, he forgot what his rules and regulations of what he'd been trained to do. Anyway, I said to the beach master, he's broken down. He said, well, you best go and get him, because...
This is before you unload.
Before I was unloaded. I was just in the surf. Just going to come up the beach. And he said, well, you best go and get him then. He said, because where he is, the Germans are still holding that. He said, if he gets down there, they'll shoot him. We'll blast him out the water. So I said, oh, okay. So we backed off into the surf again, got out into the sea, still got our wheels working and our propeller, and we finally gets to him. Owen had got our even line out and tied it to our towing rope, threw it to him, they caught it, tied it up to their front of their deck, and I shouted to Hancock, I'm taking you back out to sea. He said, I don't want to go out there, I want to go ashore. I said, if I take you ashore there, we're being captured. The Germans are there. So we went off out to sea again, because once you're in surf, the surf and the tides swung you always. So we went through the surf, out to sea, and then we went, well, I say turn left. I went from across, I suppose I went out about a mile out to sea with him, and towed him all the way round, and then brought him round again to where we were supposed to be in the first place, or where he was supposed to be in the first place. And then we came into the surf. I came in on the right side so that the surf was running left. Of course, he didn't follow my line of direction. And of course, which he could have done, because he's got a rudder. He had a propeller and a rudder. And of course, he didn't do. Of course, in the actual surf, by the beach, there was a tank sunk. So we came up alongside this tank, and the surf caught Hancock's and put him the other side of the tank. So we had Hancock's tank, Lum.
And this was back on Sword Beach?
That was back on Sword Beach, on our original position.
So the back beach on the Queen's Sector again.
Queen Sector again. And then